Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. And there's a reason why. Several. Number one, they find you the best insurance that fits what you need. Number two, they find you the best price. Number three, they update you on anything you need to have updated so that you're current. Number four, you have a claim, they jump right in. And they take care of it ASAP as if it happened to them. It's all at Purdy Insurance, where customer service is absolutely number one. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Quick show of hands, who had this Final Four? No? Nobody did, huh? Probably that Syracuse part. You know what's interesting about Syracuse? Let's get to that for a second. Think about their path. Now, it's remarkable they're a 10 seed, and let's face it, there's some people that argue whether they should be in or out of the tournament. I thought they should have been in. I had no issue with them getting in. They were a 10 seed, which means that, you know, they avoided Dayton. If you avoid Dayton, then you're in. But think about this. You can only play who's in front of you. And you see that they're a 10 seed, right? Okay. Well, they beat Dayton in the opening game, the 7th seed. I didn't really think that was a surprise. I expected Syracuse to win the game. I know in my bracket I had them winning it. But you're supposed to then get the 2nd seed. Whoops. No Michigan State. Turned out it was Middle Tennessee State. Then, if you continue on, idealistically, you're supposed to, after beating the 2 seed, face the 3 seed. Nope. They face the 11 seed, Gonzaga, which, by the way, like Middle Tennessee State, does not get into the tournament as an at-large team. If Gonzaga does not win the West Coast Conference tournament, they aren't in the tournament. If Middle Tennessee State doesn't win the tournament, they don't get in the tournament. So they've actually then be two teams that were seated behind them. Then, of course, the Virginia thing, which was a great win. Just a great game by Syracuse. Down 16, showed a lot of guts, came back, won the game. I give them a lot of credit for that. And it's interesting how every team in this thing has a weakness. They all do. Villanova has a really good big man in Ochefu, but he's the only really good big man they have. Michigan State was a team that went through this season that is great in so many areas, but they aren't very good at getting live ball turnovers. Against Middle Tennessee State, as I mentioned last week, what's the area when a team is shooting well like Middle Tennessee State? They're shooting like 56, 57% from the field. How do you get stops? You get stops with live ball turnovers that you turn into offense and then put the game pressure on. But that's not Michigan State's game. Now let's fast forward to Virginia and Syracuse. What's Virginia's a major plus for them that then turns into a major minus? Pace of game. Virginia is not a great... Let me amend that. Virginia plays to a style of game perfectly suited for them that is not a high possession game. Can they move at times? Yeah, they can move at times. But they're only a 61 possession a game team. Penn State, for example, 69. Bucknell, 72, 73 possessions a game. Okay, Virginia, 61. That means they work the clock, get the clock down, get good shots usually. Well, against Syracuse, they're up 16, and Syracuse hits a three. Hits another three. Virginia doesn't score. Hits another three. Virginia doesn't score. And they get back in it, and Virginia's struggling a bit offensively. At one point, Virginia needed to turn up the pace. They tried to, but they played too fast. Why? It's not the pace they're used to playing. So what's been a major strength all year for Virginia, pace of play, where they control the pace and just ratchet it down just a bit. When they had to hit the accelerator and change the tone of the game with pace, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And something else that you need to understand, too, is this. In a conference games, conference teams are not in awe or unsure of themselves against other conference teams. They just aren't. You play them so many times. I remember, for example, I mean, when you're facing the unknown, you're kind of like, okay, what's this like? Who are these people like? Remember when Penn State played Colorado? Colorado made the tournament, really good team. I'd heard a lot about Josh Scott. Okay, I got it. Josh Scott's a really good player. But I've only seen him on tape. I've only seen him on TV. No real feel about, you know. I saw Fortune a little bit because obviously he played against Penn State when he was at Providence. Okay. But there's a big difference between then seeing it in reality and seeing it on tape or of course, by reputation. When these teams in the conference go against each other, there are no secrets. I mean, Syracuse looked at Virginia. There are no secrets. They're in the same conference. They've already played each other this year. They already can't really know the personnel. Okay, here we go. Brogdon, seen him, been there, done that. Okay, let's get to Gill. Seen that, been there, done that. Okay, now let's get where you go through everybody, and you've seen them. And you've seen how they've reacted to certain things that you do. Parentes knows, you know, we know what he does. Meanwhile, Virginia, same thing. They're looking at Richardson. They're looking at Benajay. And they're looking at all that stuff, but there's no sense of awe or the fact that you're unsure when it's another conference team. So Syracuse didn't go into that game and go, oh my goodness, we're a 10 seed. What are we facing here in, I don't know, Kansas? They went out there and went, Virginia, been there, done that, we know them. Helps. I mean, Notre Dame was the same way playing North Carolina. Didn't bother them. And there was a certain point where they made a little bit of a run at them. It just, you know, then it comes down to matchups. And, you know, some teams you just don't match up with. And the problem with Notre Dame and North Carolina last night was you cannot have a game where you get 14 rebounds and the opponent gets 15 offensive rebounds. In fact, Notre Dame only had 10 defensive rebounds in the game. So there are 25 shots put up on the glass. North Carolina got 15 of them out of the 25. You can't win that way. You have no shot at that. Matt Leon coming up next hour. We'll talk to him about the Villanova story. We'll get into Villanova in a moment. Gino Auriemma, we'll get into him in a moment. Along with the little mini feud's wrong, but that's the best word I can come up with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's
$37.65. New 2016 Ford Escapes. It takes $37.50 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions. And 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sudbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking Super Duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Oklahoma just completely took out Oregon. Heald had a great game. He had 37 points. I really grappled back and forth between Denzel Valentine and Buddy Heald as to what to do with my Wooden Award vote. And when the vote comes out, I'll tell you which way I ended up leaning, which way I ended up going. But it was between those two as to who would be my Wooden Award Player of the Year. And I did vote. I voted a little more than a week ago on that. Heald's just a great player and a great shooter, but it's going to be really put to the test this week when they play in Houston. Because I'm going to warn everybody before you watch the games on Saturday night. This venue, for whatever reason, the NRG Stadium in Houston, home of the Texans, is, for whatever reason, one of the worst shooting venues and one of the worst depth perception problem venues that they've ever played in. They have played 9 NCAA tournament games in that building. 9. The average of all the teams put together in that building for 9 games is 39.8%. That's the shooting percentage for everybody. And remember, they've been hosting Final Fours and regional finals in there. Hey, they weren't hosting the Southland Conference Championship. And think about that. In other words, the creme de la creme has been in there playing. And as an aggregate, only at 39.8% for all of them. So it's going to be a real test for Buddy Heald coming up and how well he can shoot the ball there. It's just, for whatever reason, depth perception-wise, is not a great place to shoot. Villanova went after every loose ball. And, you know, it's interesting. Ever see the movie, Sean, Enemy of the State, with Sean Connery?
Will Smith. That's right. I remember that one, but I did not get a chance to see it. That was about 20 years old, wasn't it? Pretty close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a line in it where they're talking about the fact that the government, the NSA, is so well-funded, weapons, intelligence, and so forth. And he says to Gene Hackman, says to Will Smith at one point, he says, part of guerrilla warfare is this. He says, you got to take your perceived weakness and make it a strength. He says, in other words, if they're big and you're small, you're quicker and more mobile. That was Villanova against Kansas the other night. Not as big, quicker, more mobile, and got to every loose ball. Bigger guys are not inclined to go down to the floor to get a loose ball. They're not quick enough to do it. And it's just the nature of the thing. And they repeatedly did that against Kansas. They got to every loose ball in that game. The first 15 minutes, I thought both teams were extreme case of the jitters. Both teams did. Now, the last 25 minutes, I thought was great basketball. The first 15 minutes, I did not think it was great basketball. Yeah, Archie Dacino played well. I'm a big Josh Hart guy. I like Hart a lot. Jenkins, when he was in there, shot the ball well till he got in foul trouble. And Ochefu is very good inside. Very good inside. And they never, and I thought Jay Wright did a great job of massaging the minutes for Ochefu all night long so that he was fresh for the stretch run with 4 minutes to play. And I thought that was really a nice piece of coaching by him and his staff. Nice piece. And they hit their free throws. They bothered Kansas with the 1-2-2. When they decided to play a little matchup zone, Kansas was completely discombobulated by it. Seldon did not have a good night. They needed him to. Graham fouled out eventually. Ellis didn't have a good night. I think more of that's Villanova. And now for the ridiculous moment of the weekend. Explain to me why Bryce Johnson was called for a technical foul. And seriously. Let's start with this. Number one, the call against Bryce Johnson was a bad call. Let's start with that. Okay. So did he yell at the referee, scream at the referee? Did he say a word? Watch the tape. He says nothing. He rolls his eyes to the heavens and takes the ball and he flips it up over his shoulder into the air. Okay? If you want to warn him, Bryce, hey, come on. Just give us the ball back. Don't toss the ball, okay? Warn him. You don't call him for a technical foul. It's one thing about in the playground. You notice in the playground, there's less over-officiating in the playground when there's no official there? You notice that? Where it's like, hey, that's a foul. I fouled you. I got you. That's a foul. Where you're policing yourself. That was an over-officiated moment right there where I just sat back and said, you know. Coaches are on the sidelines berating them left and right about things. Okay, okay, okay. This kid flips a ball over his shoulder, rolling his eyes to the heavens on a play he didn't think was a foul, and they tee him up. What? Which is also a personal foul, by the way. Like, what are you doing? Then again, I clearly recognize one of the officials there. We just talked about him a month ago. Okay. Next half hour, we're going to look at, believe it or not, the women's tournament. Now, the women's tournament's interesting. They're talking about how the numbers are up for viewing, up 26%. Do you know what the new number is for the record weekend?
I'll say 6 million.
343,000.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just. But Dan Shaughnessy sent out a tweet about how UConn in the Sweet 16 beat Mississippi State by 60 points and essentially said this is unwatchable. Gino responded. We'll talk about that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, I hope agriculture takes place in the field. I couldn't resist that one. All right, sorry. Sorry, Mark. Even Sean's laughing.
Sometimes he makes it easy.
This day in sports history, 1963. Sonny Werblin announced that the New York Titans of the American Football League would change their name to the New York Jets. It's interesting. Werblin understood promotion He understood being in New York. He understood you had to somehow win the back page. Very important. Do you know which team NFL team drafted Joe Namath? St. Louis Cardinals drafted Joe Namath, the then St. Louis Cardinals. And they went down to Tuscaloosa to meet him and offer him the standard rookie contract and the whole thing. Sonny Werblin came in, and the Jets had his rights. They drafted him. Right? He flew Namath out to Beverly Hills to the Beverly Hilton. And they sat down there, and he said, hey, he says, you know, I have $400,000. How about that number? I think it ended up being like $408,000 or something like that. Meanwhile, Joe Namath's like, Mr. Werblin guy is pretty cool. 1990, Jesse Owens received the Congressional Gold Medal from U.S. President George H.W. Bush. What took so long? And 1999, saw the Rays last week beat the Cuban national team 4-1. Well, the last time a U.S. team played there was in 99 on this day when the Orioles beat the Cuban national team 3-2. First time since the 1950s that a U.S. team had played a game in Cuba. And that is this day in sports history. All right, now let's get to the story involving UConn women's basketball. UConn women's basketball is a machine. I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, and I said the way Penn State dominates wrestling, is that good for the game, the way UConn dominates women's basketball? And then naturally, the Penn State, there isn't one Penn State, oh, it's great for the game, we win. Okay, so that's the response I got and expected to get. It's great because we win. Is it great when Iowa went all 14 in a row? A different conversation if that ever happens again. It probably won't. But UConn wins in women's basketball to the tune of, what, 72 in a row now, I think is the number. And I'm going to link two stories together because each one has one phase that has to do with the profession of coaching. We're going to start with the Dylan Brooks, Mike Krzyzewski story, and then link it in the coaching world to Gina Auriemma. Dylan Brooks stated afterward what Mike Krzyzewski said to him in line. Krzyzewski did not give the same version. We are now in an operation today where there are microphones everywhere. And just like you can overhear Peyton Manning saying to Bill Belichick, this might be my last rodeo. And thus he has to talk about it for 2 weeks. Microphones picked up that indeed the player, Dylan Brooks, his version was absolutely accurate of what was told to him by the Dylan Brooks version was accurate, and Mike Krzyzewski's postgame version was not. There's a bottom line, I think, when it comes to coaching, which is a huge job, and there's so much that goes with it, and so many responsibilities that go with it, and so forth, that you really can only coach your team. You really can only coach your team. That's it. That's all you can do. You can't do anything else. So for him to sit there and not lecture, because he didn't do that, but hey, look, you get in a line like that, and if Mike Krzyzewski has said, look, you're a great player, that would have meant exponentially so much to him that he said that. They have a Hall of Fame coach, a great coach, 1,000 wins, and my respect for Mike Krzyzewski, I learned so much about him when he and Joe Paterno did that joint show here in June of 2011. And my respect for him grew tremendously from watching that. You know, beyond the 5 national championships and so forth. And I understand that. But you can only coach your team. And I'd be the last person in the world that would sit there and say, I'm offering advice to Mike Krzyzewski. He doesn't need or want my advice. But you can only coach your team. It's hard enough doing that and teaching them those lessons. Now let's bring that to Gino Auriemma. Gino Auriemma only coaches his team. And that's all he can do. But the tweet that was put out by Dan Shaughnessy, and of course Dan Shaughnessy's never been in his life shy about giving his opinions on anything, from David Ortiz to Curse of the Bambino and so forth. I mean, they asked him, he said, what are you going to do now the Curse of Bambino's over? He says, it's only over when I say it's over. Well, they've won 3 championships. It's time to move on. Okay. But he tweeted out that UConn winning by 60 points in the Sweet 16 game essentially made, you know, they're great, but they make the sport unwatchable. Okay. I mean, that's the essence of what he tweeted out. Well, he had to spend his time now talking about that than about the usual stuff that you have to discuss after a game. It's not his responsibility to coach Mississippi State. It's not his responsibility. It's his responsibility to coach UConn and do whatever you can to get UConn to win. And it doesn't really matter whether his team is good or bad for the game. That's not his job. His job is to make UConn as great as they possibly can be. That's his job. And then he's sitting there having to talk about this, and he's talking about Tiger Woods and how Tiger Woods great for the game, the whole thing. Look, and I understand where he's coming from here, but it's not his fault that his team wins by 60 points. It's just they're that good, and they won by 60 points. I mean, the Shaughnessy tweet was, UConn women beat Mississippi State 98-38 in NCAA tournament. Hate to punish them for being great, but they are killing women's game. Watch, no thanks. Okay. I don't blame him at all for getting upset about this. But it's not his responsibility to make Mississippi State good. It's not his responsibility to make Mississippi State competitive and not his responsibility to make Mississippi State great. They're going to play Texas tonight in the Elite Eight. When they played Texas last year in the Sweet 16, they beat them by 51 points. So they're going to play again tonight. See if it's any different at all tonight. We'll find out. But what is he supposed to do? Dumb the game down? What are his players supposed to do? Dumb the game down? What are they supposed to not execute? It's not like he leaves his starters in there and they just run up big scores and they just keep on going. They're just really better than everybody else. And they've been better than everybody else for a long time. That's the way it goes. He talked about Tiger Woods. Well, now, the offshoot of Tiger Woods is that you now have a better and a deeper caliber of field out there. Look at the Masters going in, for example. Jordan Spieth, the defending champion. Ricky Fowler's really good. Rory McIlroy is really good. Jason Day is really good. He's hot right now, too. Bubba Watson's really good. Phil Mickelson's still hanging in there. You have better and deeper fields now in golf. And that's because everybody had to up their game because of they saw what this guy was doing. You had players more into the weight room, more players getting into better shape, players honing and refining their game. I saw the same thing happen in the Big Ten. I mean, look at the Big Ten in football, for goodness sakes, before Penn State got in. I mean, how absurd was it as to what you saw in the Big Ten before Penn State came in? In the 24 years since Penn State has entered, 9 different schools out of the 11, let's just take the 11, let's exclude Maryland, Rutgers, and Nebraska for the time being. When Penn State came in, 9 different schools win championships. You're like, really? Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State's won 3 of them. Okay, Michigan, Iowa. Okay, they have a co-championship. Northwestern, of course, that grade 95 team. And Wisconsin, obviously, has had a great run. The only two of that, Purdue, of course, had the 2000 team with Drew Brees that went to the Rose Bowl. The only two Big Ten teams out of the 11 that have not won a championship in the previous 12 years are Indiana and Minnesota. In the previous 24 years, I should say. And Penn State's 24 years in. Nine different schools have won the Big Ten championship. A lot of this is traced back to the 94 season. Penn State came in. First year, yeah, they lost to Ohio State. Yes, they lost to Michigan. But they bludgeoned everyone for the most part in 94. The only team they didn't, by the way, was Michigan. They won the game 31-24. But Ohio State came in here, the 14th ranked team in the country, blah, blah, blah. Penn State crushed them, 63-14. And believe me, Joe pulled everybody out. It's simple. I mean, it's simple as that. It's just what they've done. And it made everybody else up their game. And everybody else did up their game. To their credit. You look at the 24 years before, from 1969 on, there was Michigan State in 87, and there was Illinois in 84, and Illinois was stripped of it because they were paying players. And that was it. it was Michigan and Ohio State every year. That doesn't cut it. Going to be a great conference, going to have some depth to it. Okay? And everybody upped their game. They've upped their game in facilities. They've upped their game in coaching. They've upped their game in everything. And I think seeing Penn State in there, I think, forced everybody to kind of up their game a little bit back in the 90s. We all watched it play out before our eyes. All of us did. And that's what he's talking about. You can only take care of what you have. Okay, you can only coach your team. And sometimes you get pushed by everybody. It's up to everybody else to get better. It's not UConn's job to get worse. It's not Gino Auriemma's problem or responsibility. And I've met and talked with him several times. I've always enjoyed talking to him. It's a very intelligent guy and motivated, driven guy, and he pushes and works his people hard, and then and you can tell. I mean, look, let's be straight here. I grew up in Enfield, Connecticut. And Enfield, Connecticut is like 15 miles north of Hartford. And it's 6-7 miles south of Springfield. So that I grew up very close to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Stores is a good 45 minutes to the east of Enfield. It is in literally the middle of nowhere. It is not a destination location. You don't just go to Stores and go, oh my goodness, I fell in love. Let's all go to play basketball here. He started it from scratch, had some local players. He got Kara Walters out of Boston. He got Rebecca Lobo out of Agawam, Massachusetts, which is just over the Mass line from Connecticut. He got Jen Rosati from Connecticut. And that was the basis of what he did with him. Pam Weber from Hollidaysburg. I mean, one Pennsylvania girl in the group. Right? And that's how you got things going. And they eventually became the place you had to go. But he didn't sit there with the mecca of like, everybody, come to Stores. It's the place to be. Okay, I've been there. There's no desire to go back. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage. And great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
I mean, here's the 24 years before Penn State got in. Listen to how exciting this is. 1968, Ohio State. 1969, Michigan and Ohio State tie. 1970, Ohio State. 71, Michigan. 72, Michigan and Ohio State tie. 73, Michigan and Ohio State tie. 74, Michigan and Ohio State. 75, Ohio State. 76, Michigan and Ohio State tie. 77, Michigan and Ohio State tie. Let's see. 78, Michigan and Michigan State tie. But the tiebreakers, Michigan won. 79, Ohio State. 80, Michigan. Iowa and Ohio State tie in 81. Michigan in 82. I mentioned 83, Illinois, they won it, but then they were put on probation. 84, Ohio State. 85 was Iowa. Michigan and Ohio State in 86. Michigan State, as I mentioned, in 87. 88 was Michigan. 89 was Michigan. There was a four-way tie in 90. 91 was Michigan. 92 was Michigan. And then Penn State enters the conference. Nine different schools have won the championship since Penn State got in the conference. Everybody upped their game. Gino Auriemma is basically saying, look, this is what we do. If you want to win, you got to up your game. And I can't control you upping your game. That's up to you.